Okay, welcome to the continuation of this morning's session. The first talk will be by Benjamin Basso on the integrability of 2D models with UN symmetry.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. And, I'd like to thank the organizer for giving me the opportunity to talk. So I'm going to talk about integrability of some two-dimensional model with UN symmetry. It's based on a work with Adam Ray, who is in the audience. If you have some question, you ask him directly. And it's related to ADS-CFT, and the first slide are dedicated to explaining how it is related. So, as you know very well, for a certain class of conformal field theory, like n equal to 4 super Young Mills or n equal 6 three-dimensional ABGM theory, we are interested in solving what is called the spectral problem, which is that is computing the spectrum of scaling dimension of a conformal operator as a function of their Taft coupling and, actually not the number of color, which is always assumed to be large. And the reason it's interesting is related to ADS-CFT correspondence, which claims that the CFT in the planar limit is equivalent to a free superstring theory on ADS space. So you all know this very well. This slide is just here for fixing notation. So what I will use as a kappa all over my slides is the string tension, okay? And the string coupling, which is inversely proportional to the number of color, will always assume to be small. And one of the entry of this dictionary is that the spectrum of scaling dimensions that we would like to construct or solve is equivalent to the spectrum of energy of a free string theory. Okay? So, okay. So the difficulty that we all very well know is that we cannot directly confront the gauge and the string theory, okay? Because the gauge theory is usually tractable at weak coupling, while the string theory is tractable at strong coupling, okay? So strong coupling here means string tension, kappa large, with respect to one, okay? So what we need if we want to compare these two theory and test ADS-CFT, we need to control the weak strong coupling interpolation. So we need some non-perturbative method to resolve the perturbative diagrams on both sides of this correspondence. As you know, one important development for dealing with this kind of problem is the discovery of integrable structure. And here are some references, incomplete list of several references. But the bottom line is that we now believe that we have a complete solution to the spectral problem in the planar limit. Okay, but these are conjecture equations, and natural equations are these conjecture equations correct? Okay. And first of all, for this equation to be correct, the superstring sigma model on ADS has to be quantum integrable, okay? Otherwise, this equation could not possibly describe the model, okay? So for ADS-5 and for ADS-5 CFT-4 theories, the case of n equal to 4 super Young Mills, we have tremendous evidence that this is the case, okay? That the string model is integrable at the quantum level, and so on. For ADS-4 CFT-3, there is much less evidence, or at least to my knowledge. I don't want to offend anybody here. There are evidence, of course, and people have worked out a lot of evidence. but at least they are perhaps less complete, or at least I don't know them. So that's the reason for my study with Adam, was to look for some hint of non-perturbative integrability of this string sigma model, okay? Which is a kind of first step toward a non-perturbative test of the associated all-loop ABA equation, okay? So this is the purpose of my talk, to report on a test of this duality. And the background of integrability, sorry. And the background of this test is the Gubsov-Klebanov-Polyakov string, which is a particular solution of string in ADS, okay, both ADS-5 and ADS-4. Because this string is simply rotated in ADS-3, which can be embedded in both spaces. And the limit I am interested in is what is the long string limit. Okay, so here is a cartoon of this GKP string, which here is sitting at the center of ADS-3. So this is a slice at a given time of ADS-3. And the string is rotating around the center of mass, and when the spin gets large, the string gets long, and eventually it becomes infinitely long in the sense that it reaches the boundary of the space. Okay, so this is this limit which is very interesting and very specific to ADS3, where the length scale like 2 log s and the wall sheet, the induced metric on the in the wall sheet theory become homogeneous. There are many reasons I think to be interested in this background. One of them is that the vacuum energy density, so the density of energy along the string, is related to a well-known observable, which is the Kaspar anomalous dimension, which has been studied in the past already. And it is also interesting because it provides a non-perturbative test of integrability and of the ABA equation. And this is the main reason here to focus on this particular string. I would like to mention also a relationship to scattering amplitudes, which was developed by Pedro, Amit, and collaborators. I don't think there will be any talk about it. Perhaps the talk by Song Yi would have some connection with this GKP string. But this is nevertheless an important reason also an important motivation for considering this kind of string background. Okay? So why did I say that it provides a non-perturbative test of integrability? So for this we need to look a little bit more, closely at at the string. And for instance, we can consider the spectrum of fluctuation around this string. At leading order, strong coupling is just a relativistic spectrum. And one important thing about this spectrum is that it has 5 massless bosons, which originate from fluctuation in S5. So here I am. Okay, it's a small detour via ADS5 times S5, which is very well known, which is well understood, at least from the perspective of my talk. But I think it might help to understand then the consideration of ADS4 times CP3. Okay, so I just want to remind you what's happening in ADS5 and then switch to ADS4. So I come back to what I was saying. We have 5 massless bosons which originate from fluctuation in S5, and all other excitations, those related to ADS3 and the embedding of ADS3 in ADS5 and the fermionic partners, are massive. Okay? So from it, one can conclude, not immediately, but if one thinks a little bit about it, that the low energy effective theory has strong coupling, okay, in this stringy regime, will be controlled by the O6 nonlinear sigma model, which is just the sigma model controlling the embedding of the string in S5. Okay, so we decouple all this massive mode, and we focus on this massless boson, and we ask what is the theory that describes the interaction, okay, on the worksheet. And as it is well known, this sigma model is non-critical sigma model with which is asymptotically free, it has a non-zero beta function, which leads to dynamical transmutation and generation of a mass scale, a mass gap in the theory. But what is interesting here is that the theory is integrable and its S-metric is known exactly. Okay? So this was probably expected in the sense that if the complete sigma model is integrable, then one may expect that in this limit, in this decoupling limit, the resulting low energy effective theory should be integrable. Okay? And if it is not the case, if it were not integrable, then we could perhaps argue that the full sigma model could not be integrable itself. Okay? So in this case, it's almost trivial in the sense that the O6 sigma model is very well known. It was known well before the development of integrability in this kind of background, of string theory in this background. But nevertheless, it was an interesting prediction for the all-loop beta ansatz. Okay? So if the all-loop beta ansatz are correct, one should be able to reproduce this O6 sigma model in this particular regime. Okay, so this was done and understood in the case of ADS5 times S5. And now the question I would like to ask is, can we apply the same kind of strategy for string in ADS4 times CP3? Okay, so can we also understand what kind of model we are dealing with in this particular background, in the Aldai-Maldacena decoupling limit, and can we prove that it is integrable or not? Okay. So first we can have a look at the spectrum of quadratic fluctuation, and here we see that there is a difference. So because the space here is CP3, which is different, it has it's a 6-dimensional space, we have 6 Goldstone bosons originating from CP3, and as an extra difference, we have now a massless Dirac fermion, okay, which originates from the superpartner of the string theory. And these are the massless mode, okay, the other fermions and bosons are massive, okay? And while this does not immediately tell us what is the sigma model, so we need more information. And this information was obtained by Dmitry Bekov, who is here today, well, I think. And he found that the low energy effective theory for this excitation, this boson and fermion, are described by a CP3 sigma model, okay, which is coupled, minimally coupled to, well, it's a fermion, a massless Dirac fermion, which is minimally coupled to CP3 sigma model. Okay, so this is the action of CP3 with a string tension apparently here. This is the massless Dirac fermion. Here is a coupling, okay, to this gauge field A mu. And there is also this relevant interaction, which is Fehring coupling. Okay, and this model should describe interaction over GKP string in the low energy effective theory. And now, one natural question is: what is the physics of the model, and is the theory integrable? So, in the previous case of ADS5 times S5. We already knew the physics of the model, which was elucidated a long time ago, and we also knew that the theory was integrable, and what is the S-matrix. For this model, well, it was not completely known, and this is the purpose of my talk, to report on the result we have obtained with Adam on this problem. So the outline is the following. So, well, something is missing here on this slide. I don't know why. Well, there was a mention to the talk by Dmitry Bekov. I don't know, maybe we'll be also considering this kind of model, or maybe a larger class of model. So stay tuned. There will be perhaps more to say about this model. So to analyze this model, now we kind of go slightly away from ADS-CFT, and we generalize it to a model with UN symmetry. Okay, so here we got only SU4 symmetry, U4 symmetry, and now we look at some generalization, okay, to have some, to extract more information, okay. And as we will see, this fermionic model can be actually written entirely as a bosonic model, which helps to understand the physics and many features. And then I will discuss integrability and also get back to the question of writing ABA equation for this model, since eventually we will be interested in comparing ABA equation for this model with ABA equation for the gauge theory. Okay? So let me just write down here what is a fermionic model. So the fermionic model is the generalization is just we keep just one fermion with a minimal coupling and we lift CP3 to CPN minus one. Okay? So now we have SUN symmetry here. One can think that we have an extra U1 coming from rotation of the fermion. We also use the freedom to change the value of the charge of the fermion, which is now K. So for the Bekov model, K was 2. So we will see later on if it plays some role or not for integrability. And we also take arbitrary Fehring coupling. Okay. So the ingredients are just this complex field, this complex scalar field Z, which are subject to this constraint Z bar Z. So this is just the condition that Z describes CPN minus 1 space. Okay. We introduce also this abelian gauge field mu, which is kind of, which is dummy. It could be integrated out, okay, because the action is quadratic, but it's just convenient to keep it, okay, such that the theory looks like a gauge theory, and which allows also a simple coupling to between the fermion and the boson. And we have this massless fermion with a charge K, as I said. So the parameter, the coupling so far are the string tension, the Fehring coupling, and the fermion charge. Okay, and what we want to understand... Ah, okay, here is the link to Dmitry's talk. So just to say a few more things about the symmetry. So we have this U1, which is gauge, okay, rotation of the Z and the Psi simultaneously. We are left with one U1, which is rotation of the U1, and the SUN, which rotates the Z, of course. We could also consider axial rotation of the Psi. This symmetry is actually only classical. There is an anomaly here. And so it is broken at the quantum level. There is some remnant. I will probably talk about it if I have time. Probably I should speed up. And there is conformal symmetry, which is also only purely classical. As a side remark, there is no supersymmetry for this model. Okay. So even in the case where n is equal to 4, which is a case interesting for CP3, for ADS, for string in ADS4, then CP3. But there is no contradiction here in the sense that, the low energy effective theory above GKP is not supersymmetric. There is nevertheless some sort of supersymmetric. One can find supersymmetry in this model if one choose n equal to and fine-tune properly this charge and Fehring coupling, but I won't talk about it. So the question is, what is the physics? Can we understand the physics in the same way that people understood the physics of the O-n sigma model? Okay, which was relevant for string in ADS5. Here the Large N expansion is very useful, and this kind of model was actually studied a long time ago by Witten, for instance, and Dada, Lucien, Dubecchia. And the next question is, once we have understood a little bit more of the physics, is the theory integrable? And is there any constraint, for instance, on the value of the charge K and the Fehring coupling? Okay? So this is the main problematic of my talk. At this point, I should mention that, of course, given the fact that this kind of model were considered, as you see, in the 70s, there should be some literature, or earlier literature, on its integrability, okay? And there is, actually. So there is a related model, which was studied by Kobali and Kurak, which slightly differ from the one I've introduced before, and which was argued to be integrable, and for which a S-matrix was proposed, okay? The difference is that they were coupling actually N fermions, minimally coupling, with a charge which was chosen K equal 1, and there was no Fehring coupling, okay, in their theory. So to some extent the model we are talking about is not very different from this one. Physically they are the same. The only difference is that the model we have introduced before is somewhat minimal as compared to this one because it only deals with one massless fermion. And in two dimension, and for coupling, for minimal coupling to a U1 vector potential, it is known that only one massless fermion can be is active. Okay, so the remaining degrees of freedom, the SUN degrees of freedom here, fermionic degrees of freedom, actually decoupled. They describe a Vesuminow-Witten model, and so they do not play any role in the physics of the bosonic model, if you wish. So they can be decoupled. This was known already. And to some extent, we have removed what is not participating to the physics. And the model we are considering is also a kind of refined version because it turns out that models without Fehring coupling are not renormalizable. Okay? So this model introduced by Kobali and Kurak is not complete from the UV point of view because at one loop there will be a Fehring coupling that will be induced, and so it should be added to this action. Okay. So from this point of view, the previous model is more generic. Okay, it has more parameter and it is renormalizable and minimal. Okay. So this is the reason we prefer to work with the previous model. But definitely, we should be able to find integrability somewhere for some particular set of value, or perhaps for all value, because it was known before that this related model was integrable. Okay. At least at large end. So I will come back later on it. Just to justify a little bit what I was saying before about renormalization, so we have these two parameters, the charge K and the Fehring coupling, and we would like to understand how they run, okay, with renormalization scale. So for the charge, one can look at the Gauss law, which originates from the U1 symmetry, the U1 gauge symmetry, and understand that the charge K has to be finite because it relates to conserved current, which are finite, and so the charge should not renormalize. But it's different for the Fehring coupling. In this case, one can look at certain correlator of fermionic current, and then this quantity should be finite, okay? And a one-loop computation reveals that it's not the case if the Fehring coupling does not run. So from it, we can immediately conclude that the Fehring coupling is there. It is a running coupling. We cannot remove it. Okay. And as far as the bosonic coupling is concerned, the string tension, if you wish, its renormalization is the same at one loop as in the CPN sigma model, CPN minus one sigma model. So it leads to the generation of a dynamical scale. So the coupling is running. Okay. We have this scale which is generated. and for the feeling coupling, what we know is that the only freedom behind this coupling is a choice of its value in the UV, okay? And the charge is finite. So all of this is actually much more clear in the bosonic model, which I introduced now. So this model was considered in the past also, and it described a vibration of a circle over CPN, okay? And one can see it also as a deformation of the sphere. So here's a definition of the model. It has two radius, if you wish. One related to the U1, to the circle which is fibered over CPN, and this one is the radius of CPN. So advantages of this model is that there is this nice geometrical picture. Also, computationally, it's easier. And it was also studied up to two loop in the past, so it's definitely a good point for it. And, well, as I said, the symmetry are the same as in the previous case, except that there is no gauge symmetry anymore in this model. It is broken as soon as the radius here has a non-zero value, but we can recover the CPN model by taking the limit in which the circle fibered over it gets to a zero radius. And there is this symmetry enhancement that I've mentioned, that this model actually interpolates between CPN minus one and the sphere, okay, which is just the O2N sigma model. And the relation between the two is not very difficult. One should do a T-duality to transform this model into a new form, okay? We call it hybrid model because we didn't know how to call it. And from the fermionic formulation, one has to do the well-known bosonization. And one can find that the two models are exactly the same, okay? So, I don't want to actually, I'm already running out of time, so I don't want to spend too much time on this T-duality transformation. The only thing that I would like to say is that so far there was, in the bosonic formulation, it is not clear how the charge enters, so the charge of the fermion, and it is actually related to a quotient. So one need to perform a quotient of along the fiber, one need to perform a quotient of the geometry along the fiber to introduce the charge. Okay, so this way one can obtain this T-dual form of the Lagrangian in terms of this phi, this field phi, which is dual to this coordinate theta, which parameterizes the circle which is fibered over CPN. Okay, so once we have something of this type, it's not difficult to realize that it's the bosonized form of the fermionic model. This is just based on, well, this is very well known since Kalman taught us how it works. So one introduced a phi field here, which is a dual of the fermion, which, so the U1 current is related to the phi via this relation, epsilon is an epsilon tensor. And then one immediately gets that the bosonized Lagrangian takes this form. And if one compare with the previous expression, one sees that they match exactly upon identifying properly the coupling. Okay? So the two theory are exactly the same. Okay? If we quotient the bosonic theory. And this is very helpful because we can check that our understanding of the fermionic theory and its renormalization, for instance, is correct. The running coupling in the case of the bosonic model was worked out up to two loops. And here are the relations. So this big R, which is related to the string tension, runs, okay? It has this logarithmic behavior. And then there is also this subleading behavior, which was worked out. And for the small radius, it is directly related to this Fearing coupling. So it takes a non-zero value in the UV, but otherwise it runs according to some equation, which can be worked out up to two loop also, okay? So here I have introduced a new, I have redefined my coupling. I'm sorry, we're changing coupling all the time. I introduced this P, which is somewhat convenient, okay? So what we have, the two RJ invariants in this theory are the dynamical scale lambda and the value of this circle, okay? Or equivalently the value of the fearing coupling in the UV, okay? This was for the UV physics, but it did not really help us to understand what is really the spectrum of this theory and what kind of theory we are dealing with. And here we can get a lot of insight by using large N expansion. Okay, so this model was studied at large N also some time ago. So the physics is very close to O2N. Okay, if we think in terms of this bosonic model, so we have this parameter P, which allows us to deform between the sphere, the O2N sigma model, and the CPN minus one sigma model. Okay, the physics. So as a consequence, if you wish, the physics is very close to O2N. So we have two N particles, which we dubbed spinons, with a mass which are two leading order at large n is just given by the dynamical scale. Okay, so it's a weakly coupled theory at large n. The interactions are weak, they are 1 over n. They have repulsive scalar interaction as in the O2N sigma model. But the interesting extra ingredient in this theory as compared to O2N is that we have an attractive interaction which is mediated by the gauge field. Okay, so the gauge field has this propagator with P, which is this parameter which I have introduced before. Okay, which allows us to go from O2N to CPN minus 1. So O2N corresponds to P going to infinity, so this interaction is suppressed. And on the contrary, CPN corresponds to P goes to 0. So this is a kind of propagator. Okay, and when P equals to 0, what we have is that we have a pole in this function, and so we have a Coulomb potential between the spinon. And in two dimensions, Coulomb potential leads to confinement. Okay, and this is a well-known feature of the CPN minus one sigma model, that we have confinement of the fundamental, the elementary degrees of freedom. But as soon as P is different from zero, so if we go slightly away from this CPN minus one sigma model, the gauge field acquire mass, okay, because the pole here is shifted to a finite value, and the potential is screened. So the spinor are three, okay, they can propagate. There is no long-range interaction. We have some sort of Yukawa interaction, if you prefer. P equal 1 is very special in the landscape of this theory because it separates the attractive and the repulsive regime. So when P is greater than 1, things look pretty much like in the O2N sigma model, while when P is smaller than 1, we are closer to the CPN sigma model, and we may have, for instance, bound state and this kind of thing. Okay? And of course, the physics, the large-end physics of this model is the same as the one for the fermionic model, which was elucidated long time ago. Okay. So now that was for the physics. So I've been perhaps too long on this point. So I will have to speed up on integrability. Well, in any case, what I have to say about integrability, the evidence that I will be giving about integrability are based on well-known methods which were developed over the past 3 years, over the last years, in the past, for a previous model like O and sigma model and so on. Okay, so there is nothing new here. I will just try to point out some perhaps interesting remark about integrability in this model. The first thing I should say is that the case n equal 2 is very special, and it was introduced a long time ago by Wigman, Polyakov, and later on by Balog, collaborator, and also studied recently by Kawaguchi, Matsumoto, Yoshida, which are, I think they are all here for the conference. And this is a very, very nice model because in this case, the system is integrable for any value of the deformation parameter. So what we have is an exactly integrable system with a parameter, a continuous parameter. And we can go from CP1 model, which in the present case is nothing else than O3 sigma model, to the other limit, which is O4. Okay? So here is another label for this deformation parameter. Okay? So in this case, on n equal 2, one can rewrite the model as a deformation of the SU2 principal current field. And as it turns out, it is integrable for any value of eta, and the S matrix is known exactly, and it takes this tensor product form, with here SSU2 being the minimal SU2 S matrix, and this one being the, if you wish, the minimal U1 S matrix, the Sine-Gordon S matrix, which knows about the deformation parameter P. And the reason for this P, which I've introduced before, is tied to this parameter P, which is usually introduced for Sine-Gordon. So the physics of the model for any n is very close to the one for n equal 2, so P greater than 1 is the same as for Sine-Gordon, meaning that we just have soliton, we don't have bound state, and P smaller than 1, we have bound state, and so on. So this is the reason for using this parameter P, which was also used by Bilog and collaborator. Okay? So I think, Kentaro, we talk about the classical integrability of this model, so perhaps I should not spend too much time, and perhaps there will be also posters, I'm not sure. So what about integrability? So, well, the classical integrability, as you know very well, is based on the existence of a flat and conserved current, okay? So flatness here and conservation. And as soon as we have this kind of current in the theory, we can construct a lax connection, and from it, we can immediately obtain infinitely many conserved charges by taking this path ordered exponential. Okay, so what I would like to say here is that it turns out that it is impossible to satisfy this condition for generic value of the deformation parameter if n is greater than 2. So for n, again, n equal 2, as I said before, the theory is integrable for any value of eta. So, but for n greater than 2, it turns out it is impossible. On the other hand, it is always possible to do it for the fermionic model at the classical level, and this for any value of the deformation parameter p. So I use different letters, but they are related to one another. There is only one deformation parameter here. Okay, so it's a bit puzzling, but there is a nice, there is a simple explanation, and the reason is that so the puzzle is the following: so the fermionic model is classically integrable, while the bosonic model is not. So how could it be? It turns out that the classical integrability of the fermionic model relies on the actual conservation of the U1 current. Okay. But we know this conservation is not there. This law is not there in the quantum theory. And the bosonic model knows it already at the classical level. And this is very well known, that the bosonization is not a classical transformation and makes some quantum property of one theory visible at the classical level in the other one. And here what we can see in the bosonic model is that what we can see in the bosonic model at the classical level already is that there is no actual conservation law. Okay, so here there is a right-hand side, and this identity is not true. Okay, so so it explains why the two descriptions might not agree at the classical level, because they are not they are not equivalent to some extent. But what does it really imply? So should we trust the bosonic description, which is telling us that there is no integrability for generic value of this parameter eta, or should we trust the fermionic model, which is telling us that there is integrability for any value of the deformation parameter? Naively, we should be tempted to believe the bosonic description, because it knows about the actual anomaly, and we might think that it is an important property of the theory that may crucially change the conclusion regarding integrability. But actually, there is no complete disagreement, in the sense that we are not probing the same corner of space, okay, of parameter space, okay, but when we use this parameter eta and this parameter p. And to some extent, what the bosonic model is telling us is that presumably the fermionic model is not integrable when the deformation parameter gets as large as the string tension, okay. But otherwise, there is no strict contradiction as long as we are away from this semi-classical regime. Okay? So we can make this a little bit more precise by going to a more quantum analysis in the fermionic model. And one can use an argument which was introduced by Goldschmidt and Witten, and also by other authors before, I think, but which was at least explained in detail in this paper, and which is based on the conservation of higher spin conserved current. Okay, so one constructs some higher spin conserved current in the classical theory, which here I base on conformal invariance, and then one tries to look at what are the possible deformation of this conservation law at the quantum level, and so they take this form where A is some anomaly which has to have some dimension here 5 and spin 3. Okay, and if it turns out that this anomaly can be written as a total derivative of other operator, then the conclusion is that the higher conservation law is deformed, but it's not spoiled. Okay, so the theory has higher spin conserved current, and this is evidence for integrability. So I need to speed up. So the conclusion is that what we can conclude from this analysis is that at the end there is one unmatched anomaly. So there is one operator here in this list of A operator, which cannot be written in this form. Okay, so this is different from for n equal 2, for which this can be done exactly. Well, there is no unmatched anomaly, and so we can conclude that we have quantum integrability. But so this is not a good conclusion for us. But we should remember that we have one free parameter. So we might expect that by fine-tuning the value of this parameter, we can compensate for this unmatched anomaly. So the conclusion we would like to draw from this analysis is that integrability is probably present in this theory, but only if we fine-tune P. Okay? That's the conclusion. And then if we want to have some hint about what is the precise value of this parameter P, which will give us integrability, well, we can go to large N. Then at large N, we know that the theory is weakly coupled, so we can solve it. And, for instance, we can compute scattering amplitude between spinon. They take this particular form, okay? And then we can ask whether they are compatible with the conclusion one might draw from the factorization of the scattering, okay, which is an important property of integrability. And then one can immediately conclude that this kind of amplitude here for the model, they are compatible with with this relation, for instance, which derived from factorization of the S-matrix, so from Young-Baxter equation, if you prefer. Only if P is equal to infinity, which is just, okay, O to N sigma model, which we know is integrable, or P equal 1. Okay? So for P equal 1, the S-matrix corresponds to the minimal U1 reflectionless S-matrix, and for this value precisely, the model is nothing else than the one considered by Kobali and Kurak. Okay? Does it mean? Oh, thank you. So our conclusion at this point is that to some extent we did not find anything new. Okay, the only value for which the model is integrable is P equal 1. And at this point precisely, the model is equivalent to the one found by Kobali and Kurak. Okay? So, it's actually a good result for us, because now if we want to check integrability of the Bekov model, we just need to look at whether this condition P equal 1 is satisfied by this model or not. Okay? And otherwise, we will be tempted to conclude that it is not integrable. So, this is just some comment to say that here this condition, P equal 1, which was we identified it at large N, but we also performed some tests at finite N to check that it is correct. These kind of tests are based on asymptotic freedom, so we use some prob, we introduce some finite density of spinon. Okay, we compute the free energy at a given chemical potential. We compare the prediction from the perturbative computation to the prediction based on the S matrix, this one. Okay, and then we see if they match. Okay, and as you can see, for any value of n, independently of whether n is large or not, these two computations agree as soon as p equal 1. Okay, and this also allowed us to check that the renormalizability of the Fehring coupling was there. Okay, otherwise we could not match these two coefficients here. Okay, so this kind of analysis, in the case of n equal 2, one can verify the matching for any value of p, as was done by Balog and collaborator. So now I come to the most important thing I have to say. Is that we can immediately check now that the Bekov model is integrable. Okay, by this I mean that if we relate this parameter P, which I have introduced before, to the parameter lambda, here the Fehring coupling lambda, and the charge K, which did not play any role so far, but if I have time, I will comment about the role of this charge later on. We can immediately check that for P equal 1, which we argued before should correspond to integrable theory, we get the right prediction for the Fehring coupling. So the conclusion is that the parameter of this theory, of the Bekov model, they are fine-tuned as it should for getting integrability. Okay? So, this is the main conclusion, is that the Bekov model appears to be integrable. We identified find some hint of non-perturbative integrability of the full string theory. So what I would like to comment about at the very end now is the question about constructing asymptotic beta ansatz. So now that we have a S matrix for this model, that we know that it is integrable and so on, we would like to write down some ABA equation, which eventually should be compared with the prediction based on the ABA equation for the gauge theory. Okay, and here there is an interesting subtlety. The subtlety is that, as you know, usually as soon as we have the S matrix and as soon as we impose some boundary condition for the spin-on wave function, we can write down ABA equation, which are typically of this type. So here, S is the S matrix for spin-on in a particular SUN channel. Here's the momentum, and this is just a product over the S matrix and so on. Okay? So, the question is, what is this Q here, which is a twist? So usually it is directly related to the choice of boundary condition that we choose for the field. Okay? And if we assume the simplest possible choice, say periodic boundary condition, we find that Q equal 1, and we are done. What I would like to argue is that this is not the case in this theory. We cannot simply take Q equal 1. Okay? Otherwise, we are not describing exactly the spectrum of the Bekov model on a cylinder. The reason is tied to this axial U1 symmetry, which I've mentioned before. So it is broken. There is some anomaly, okay? So it is not really there. But there is actually a residual symmetry, discrete symmetry, which is related to this charge K, okay? And so we have this Z2K symmetry. We did not find any evidence in the previous discussion. We did not find any role for this symmetry symmetry group in the previous discussion. And this is related to the fact that the symmetry is actually spontaneously broken. Okay? So in infinite volume, you will not really see it, okay? as was argued by Witten a long time ago. But nevertheless, it should play some role in finite volume, okay? The reason is that the spin-on, they are like soliton interpolating between adjacent vacua, okay? Like in sine Gordon. Okay. And this symmetry should be related to the fact that we have, for instance, degenerate vacua in infinite volume, which eventually become non-degenerate in finite volume. And this is actually the reason why the charge pop up in the finite volume analysis. This is tied to the restoration of this symmetry, which was previously spontaneously broken. And we should make a choice, appropriate choice of Q here, to properly construct the Hilbert space of the theory, which split into various sectors, okay, which are associated to different block waves with respect to this symmetry. And there is also some selection rule associated to this symmetry and so on, which can be easily understood actually from the fermionic theory. It's a kind of quantization of the total number of fermion in terms, total number of spin-on in terms of the total number of fermions, okay? So the conclusion is that we need a twist, okay? But what is this twist? So just to argue a little bit more about this twist, there is a nice analogy here with what is called the K-folded sine Gordon. So this is a sine Gordon with K vacua per period. So we take a field phi, which has this periodicity, this weird periodicity, but which is convenient when phi denotes the bosonization of a fermion. Okay. So, but here we make a choice that we rescale the field phi everywhere. And so when we put the theory in finite volume with natural boundary condition, okay, we get K vacua per period. And then these K vacua are also associated to K block wave sector. And it is known that for this theory, if we want to describe properly the spectrum, okay, already at the ABA level, we need to include twist which satisfies this equation, okay? And we also need to take into account the selection rule, which, roughly speaking, says that in any given state, we should go from one vacuum to, we should go back to the same vacuum as we go around the cylinder. And because we have K vacua, here we need at least K soliton to do this, okay? So we could perhaps immediately conclude that for the fermionic model, we should also select some twist factor which satisfies this condition. But the answer is that it's not correct, okay? Even if the theory are dual in infinite volume, they might have different spectrum in finite volume. One example is sine Gordon versus massive fearing model, which are related by bosonization, but which leads to different spectra in finite volume, okay? And the reason is that the theory have different set of local operators, and this difference can be mapped to difference in the spectra of eigenstate, energy eigenstate, by the state operator correspondence. Okay, so roughly speaking, the fermionic theory contains some operators that anticommute with a Z2 symmetry, which is -1 to the power f, where f is a fermion number, and here is an example of state which is created with a fermionic operator out of the vacuum. Okay. And this kind of state is not present in this theory, the bosonic theory, with natural boundary conditions, which are this periodic one. So our proposal is that if we consider the fermionic theory in the Neuve-Schwarz sector with anti-periodic boundary condition for the fermion field, then we should modify slightly this condition in this form, okay? And then we can write down ABA equation for the Bekov model. So they are, they are typical ABA equation, but with this Q here, which has to satisfy this particular condition with here K equal 2 for the Bekov model, and this extra selection rule, which I've mentioned before. Okay? So this is a prediction we are making for the ABA equation of this model, which eventually should also be obtained from the all-loop ABA equation for the gauge theory. Okay? So it's time to conclude. So I tried to give some evidence for quantum integrability of a family of model. The motivation was that for n equal 4, it applies to string sigma model in ADS4 times CP3 in this particular Aldai-Maldacena decoupling limit. And this eventually provide a non-perturbative test of quantum integrability of the complete sigma model. So interesting open question are, can we write down TBE equation for the Bekov model and, for instance, compute the energy of the vacua, so the lifting in the degeneracy of the vacua, which is kind of, cute analysis, I would say. And can we match, more interestingly for the audience, can we match the gauge theory ABA equation with the one we proposed for the Bekov model? And, yes or no? Thank you.
So I didn't quite understand. So these beta functions for the two different couplings match for that particular value of P that you... there are two couplings, right? The radius of the CPN and the Thirring coupling. So they don't they run in a different way generally?
Oh, yes. They do run in different way. Yeah. Well, the running of the running of the string tension, if you wish, is the same as for CPN minus one. Whereas the running of the Thirring coupling is, to some extent, subleading. It is more suppressed. So the Thirring coupling is typically some constant plus some small correction.
If I understood correctly, I mean, your P is related to the Thirring coupling, right?
My P?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you say,
given value
P is equal to 1 or something, so if it's running in a different way, isn't it somehow non-invariant statement?
P is not running because P is defined by the asymptotic value of the coupling in the UV. I did not comment on it, but yeah. So here is a picture of the energy flow. Okay, so we have this coupling R, which is this small radius related to the Thirring coupling, which is running. Okay, but as you can see in the UV, when R becomes very, very large, so it takes some finite value. And this is this finite value of the coupling when the UV means that all these terms are negligible here, this one, this one. And P is just by definition the value of this radius in the UV. So it's not running, it's just a parameter of the theory. It tells me where I am on the critical line here.
And also you probably mentioned, but have you already done this check with this free energy at large chemical potential in perturbative calculation versus the what you get from the beta ansatz, or is it your result already? Or?
Well, this is for a particular computation, for a particular probe. So here we are taking a particular state which has only one spin. Okay, so it's one spin with respect, or it is basically rotating along the fiber. Okay, and this is a result for this is a perturbative result, and this is a S matrix prediction. And so, here's a match. So,
And just also one small comment. I mean, since everything in your talk rotates around this K dependence, I just want to comment that you can also view this K charge of the fermions as the boson and the fermion living in some kind of weighted projective space. So the fermion having a different weight from the boson.
Okay. Thank you.
So you mentioned that bosonic model is not integrable for, classically not integrable for GRP.
Yeah.
How do you know that? What's the argument why it's not integrable?
Oh, classically? The bosonic model?
Yes.
Well, the reason is that we could not find, we could not find a flat and conserved current out of which we could eventually construct the monodromy matrix.
Yeah, but that's not an argument why it's not integrable.
Well, if there is known, it cannot be integrable, no?
Well, if lux were known, then it's integrable, but the opposite, does it apply? Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, I prove that there is no...
Okay.
Well, okay, well... No,
so
it's not a proof. It's if it is integrable, it's weird. Well, it's more difficult than...
You mentioned that the one of the open problems is a TBA equation for your system. So what is the problem? I mean, you have a nested set of Betansatz equations, and then I would expect
I think it's a problem
down
for me. It's just that I don't know in general how to write down TBA, but I'm pretty sure that in the audience we can find people who can do it, on the back
of the
envelope. At least
the infinitely many equations that you can always write down,
I guess,
which are called the classical TBA, that should be possible, I think.
Yeah, that will be of the same kind of the TBA for ON sigma models, so with infinitely many nodes and so on. And then one need to find out, some simplification behind it, as was done.
Yeah, the truncation to a finite set, that's always a problem. But
so,
for SU4, I think it's known.
Yeah, so, okay, probably, actually, the Y system or the TBA for this model should also be obtained from the Y system for the ABGM theory, if you believe they describe the same object at the end. So it is already embedded into the Y system. It's just that, personally, I don't know how to write down TBA, so... But if you ask people in the back, they will tell you.